it's you feel their spirit, just genuine people. And y'all are blessed, and we're thankful for what God is doing here. And it's exciting to hear that Texas Bible College has a new instructor, and I couldn't think of a better one. When I heard that, I was so excited for everyone, but especially for those young people going to Texas Bible College. And so we're just excited for your church and excited to be here with you today. Amen. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Today in preaching, I want to focus on just one word here in our text. God says he dwells with him that is of a contrite spirit. He revives the heart of the contrite ones. That word contrite, it means crushed. Crushed. It literally refers to something that has been broken into pieces, something that has been crushed into a powder or a dust. And so I want to preach to us here today the power of the crushed ones. The power of the crushed ones. Would you pray and ask God to speak to us here this morning? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your power, for your anointing that we feel here. I pray, God, that you would minister. I pray that you would work. I pray that you would let your glory move in this house today. We give you the praise. We give you the honor, Lord. We're nothing without you. We need your presence. But I pray that you would move, God, that you would change us. Help us to be what you've called us to be. I pray, God, that you would minister in a mighty way. We give you the glory, we give you the praise and the honor right now in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Would you give the Lord one more hand clap of praise right now? In Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. The art of turning olives into oil was developed in the Mediterranean region thousands of years ago. Historically, trees were shaken or they were beaten with a stick until the olives dropped to the ground. And those olives would then be placed into a press, a huge stone or a granite wheel was turned over them in order to crush those olives into a pulp, and that pulp would produce the oil. In the world of olive oil producers, it's what's inside the olive that's valuable. If we were to go out, I don't know if anybody likes olives. I actually don't like to eat olives. But if we were to go out and buy 1 ton of olives today, depending on how we bought them, we would pay an average of $700 per ton. But that 1 ton of olives that costs $700, if it was pressed into oil, it could produce somewhere between $1,500 and $7,000. For it's what's inside the olive that's valuable. But it takes the press to bring it out. Sadly, today's generation has been programmed to look more on the outward things of life. How we look and what brand or style of clothes that we wear, what kind of car we drive, how expensive our lifestyle is. These are things that are all so important to our generation. But what we find in the Word of God is that our inner attitude, our inner spirit, those are the things that really matter. And what's on the inside is more important than sometimes what you see on the surface. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And so we've got a challenge before us today, because if we only focus on what's seen, on what's visible, then we neglect some things of the Spirit, some invisible things that really matter and really will last. If we can concentrate today on some things of the Spirit that you can't see on the surface, then not only are you going to have an eternal reward, but God will give you blessings and rewards in this life as well. You see, sometimes we don't immediately see the outward benefits of a consistent prayer life. You know, it's hard to pray. It's hard to be faithful in prayer. And sometimes you think, are my prayers really doing any good? Because in the moment, it may seem like you're not making a difference. And it may seem at the time that fasting is not really, really doing any good. And I'll just be honest with you. Every time I'm fasting, I'm thinking, is this really worth it here? But over time, it's building a grounded life. You just look at the lives who have been faithful over the years. They were faithful in their time with the Lord and devotion and prayer and they paid their tithes and offerings even when it wasn't easy to do. And any time there was church services, you would find them here serving the Lord and faithful to the house of God. And so weaved throughout their life was this invisible thread of the things that are eternal. But it had a real results, and so God kept them through the years, and God blessed them through the years. And some of you here today, you can say, I'm blessed because somebody paid the price. Somebody was faithful when it wasn't easy to be faithful. Somebody served the Lord when it wasn't easy to be serving Him. Somebody gave their tithes and their offerings. It might not have been much, but they were faithful even when it wasn't easy. And God has blessed them and blessed their families. And some of you children and young people today are blessed because of somebody that paid a sacrifice and focused on the things which will last, the things that are eternal. You see, our spirit determines our relationship with God. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, the Lord sent Samuel to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem to anoint a new king. And so out of Jesse's sons, they brought them all before him. And as the eldest stood there, Samuel in his heart said, surely this is the one. He's tall, he's strong, he's good looking. God said, don't look at his appearance because I have rejected him. I've refused him or the height of his stature. And the Lord said, for the Lord doesn't see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so our spirit determines our relationship with God. Your spirit will determine the extent of how much God can use you. Our spirit will either hold us back or it will release us into what God wants to do through our lives. Our spirit will either hinder revival or it will produce revival. I don't know about you, but I want to have a spirit that says, my heart is willing to do whatever you want me to do because I want to see revival. I want to see the anointing of God. I want to see the blessings of God come through my life. Amen. I want my home to be blessed. I want my children to be blessed. I want to have the protection of the Lord when I'm driving on the highway. God, I want to be in the right place and have the right spirit so that you can work in me. And so our spirit is more important than the words we say. It's more important than what kind of car we drive. And man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Amen. So we've got to get these unseen things to align with the will of God. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, he said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He went further and said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, there's power in the crushed ones. Crushed ones have forsaken their own will. Crushed ones have forsaken their own will. You see, we don't need to be operating by our own dreams and our own plans. But the crushed ones, they march to the beat of a different drum. They're serving the Lord, and the Spirit of God is leading them and directing them. If you study here, Jesus was praying under a great burden in Garden of Gethsemane. And as he cried out, his flesh cried out to the Spirit. He said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see, it would have been easier to skip the cross. It sure would have been easier to skip the pain and the torture and the suffering and the mocking and the ridicule. It would have been easier to listen to his flesh. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Who is it here today that maybe you've got some plans and some dreams for your life and you've got some things that you want to see accomplished, but God is saying, why don't you just put those things aside and say, not my will, Lord, but thine will be done. God, I want your will to be done. I want your will to be done in this church. Let your will be done in my family. Let your will be done in my home. Come on, God wants to use souls today. He wants to bring revival, but he wants to do it his way. God, I'm going to step back and let your will be done. Let your will be accomplished in me today. Crushed ones operate by God's will and not the will of man. Secondly, today we find that crushed ones have sacrificed the spirit of ambition. The spirit of ambition. You see, crushed ones, they don't advance themselves, but they wait on God to open the door. Amen. If we strategize and manipulate and jockey for position in order to push ourselves closer to the top, well, it'll be real easy to lose our footing and fall all the way to the bottom. But if it was God that put us there, if God opened the door, if God made a way, then he's the one that gives us the help to stay there. Joseph, he dreamed a dream. It was an impressive dream. So impressive, in fact, that nobody else believed him and thought he was crazy. But you just follow the life of Joseph, and it seemed like every turn of events, it seemed like it took him further and further away from his dream. But that crushing in Joseph's life, it put the dream into proper perspective. And he learned that he had to pursue his God instead of his dream. Sometimes we keep our eyes on the dream, but we got to realize God's the one that makes the dream come to pass. And so, Joseph, what are you doing in that pit? Joseph, how come you're a slave? And why are you working now in Potiphar's house? And Joseph, look at yourself. Now you're in prison, and you just can't seem to catch a break. But all the while, Joseph, he served his God. He pursued righteousness. And it was God who brought the dream to pass. Who is it here today that maybe you feel like you're in a pit? Seems like you just can't catch a break. It seems today that God's given you some dreams and placed some visions of the future in your life. I want those things to come to pass. But God, it seems like everything in life is taking me further and further away from that dream. I can't ever see how it could come to pass given where I'm at right now. But I want to tell you, don't be ruled by the spirit of ambition. You just follow the leading of God's voice instead of trying to force that dream yourself. Think about this with me today. If Joseph would have pursued the dream and tried to make himself a ruler, think about it, and tried to force his own way through ambition instead of letting God lead him, then Joseph would have never been thrown in that pit. And Joseph wouldn't have been sold as a slave. And he would have never been falsely accused in Potiphar's house. And he would have never been put in prison and never remembered by the butler. And Joseph would have never been made ruler for the salvation of his family. But what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for good. I've come to preach to somebody here today. You don't worry about forcing your will and opening the door yourself, but you serve the Lord and you be faithful unto righteousness and you let God open the door. It may seem like he's taking you further and further away from your dream, but all the while he's opening doors and he's leading you in his path. Amen. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned it for good. Crushed ones have sacrificed that spirit of ambition, and they pursue their God instead of their dream. For when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. When we get to the place that we're crushed, we don't care about being exalted anymore. We don't care who gets the glory. We just want his blessing on our lives and our families, and he gives it. And there's treasures to be found in the hands of God. And thirdly today, crushed ones experience revival. Crushed ones experience revival. What power there is when we aren't depending solely on our strength and ability. Think about that today. When our faith doesn't stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If you look at the life of Peter, Peter was always so bold. He was the first one to speak up, and he was the first one to put his foot in his mouth, you know? Peter had zeal. He had passion. He was the one to step out of the boat. Then he was the one to say, "Lord, help me." It was Peter who pulled out a sword to defend Jesus, because in his way of thinking, that was what needed to be done. But Peter was crushed. Peter was humbled. He was broken. To think he was ready to go to prison. He was ready even to die just because he said, "I will do it. I'll go to the death for you, Lord." And then imagine his utter hopelessness when the rooster crowed and he realized he had denied the Lord three times. And as he remembered of the word of the Lord, it says he wept bitterly. He was humiliated. He was crushed. And so Peter determines, "I'm going back to what I know. I don't know about all this disciple stuff. I don't know about the Messiah. I don't understand about all this, but I know how to fish." And so he got back in the boat and went fishing, and he's broken and he's crushed and humiliated, but Jesus is still waiting for him and still reaching for him. And fast forward to the day of Pentecost, Peter was able to preach with power and with faith like nobody else could have done, and 3,000 were added to the church in one day, all because Peter had been crushed. His will and his spirit had been broken so that Almighty God could work through him. And later on he wrote, he said, "God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." I'm telling you, crushed ones experience revival, because God will do mighty works in his name when he gets the glory. God's not looking to share his glory with another. He wants to place his anointing upon us. He wants to see mighty works done in his name. But he's not going to use someone who hasn't been crushed. He wants to be the one that gets the glory. It's not about lifting us up in our flesh, but it's about lifting Jesus up. And so crushed ones experience revival. The power of the crushed ones. What an enlightening illustration we have of Jesus praying in the garden before his crucifixion. There are some who estimate that a few of those olive trees still alive in the Garden of Gethsemane today date back to the time of Christ. Isn't that interesting? To think that some of those same trees that are alive today might have been there when Jesus was praying there. The word Gethsemane, it literally means an oil press. An oil press. That process of extracting the oil from olives with a heavy press that crushes and squeezes. For it's what's inside the olive that's valuable. And it takes that press to bring it out. Here Jesus is, and he's praying. He's under a great burden and sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. And he's there, and he's feeling that pressure, and he's being prepared for the cross. And there's a crushing, and there's a weight and a burden that settles upon him as he is bearing the sins of the whole world. And here he is, and he's saying, "Not my will, but thine be done." In his flesh is being crushed, but the spirit is getting even stronger. And that needs to happen in every one of our lives. There's got to be a crushing of our will. There's got to be a crushing of our dreams and our plans, to where we say, "Lord, it's not about me, but it's about what you want to do. God, I've got some plans, I've got some dreams and some goals, but Lord, I'm going to step back and say, Lord, what you want, that's what I want in my life." Could it be that some of you today have been going through that press? You've been going through that crushing experience. And could it be that God has graciously been allowing that pressure and allowing that crushing, that crushing, in order to produce the oil in your life and to produce his anointing in your ministry? You see, we may see somebody who's anointed in singing or preaching or whatever it might be. And I want to tell you, they didn't get that way by accident. But someone, when they have that anointing upon them so strong, you know that's a person who has been through the press. And that's somebody who they've had to fight a few battles. And they've had to fight their way through some things. They've had to endure some times. They've been through some crushing. But it was that crushing that brought the anointing. It was that circumstance that brought it out. So today you might think, how can I make it? I'm in the press. I'm going through the fire. I'm experiencing some pain, and this is not easy, but you just keep on, because God can take what the enemy meant to destroy you. He can take what the enemy meant for evil, and he can turn it for good, and he can produce anointing, and he can produce miracles, and he can produce revival. I'm telling you, there's power in the crushed ones. Somebody today, you need to be encouraged, because the enemy's throwing everything he can at you. He's trying to destroy you. He's trying to destroy your family. But all the while, God's saying, "I'm going to take what the enemy's trying to do to destroy you, and I'm going to produce revival, and I'm going to bring souls to the kingdom of God, and I'm going to bring a miracle, and I'm going to bring healing, and you just let me do my work," he says. "You trust me, and I'm going to bring that crushing. It's going to bring the oil of anointing." I wonder if we could stand in closing today. The world thinks in order to have power and be really something that you have to use force against those who are weaker. But in the kingdom of God, it's those who humble themselves. "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray." God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Matthew tells us that the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And he also says that whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. You see, there's such thing as the burden of the Lord and the burden of the load. The burden of the Lord and the burden of the load. The burden of the Lord, it goes forth in a service like this, where we're here and we're open to what God wants to do, and God's reaching for lives, and God's ministering in families, and reaching for people and saying, "I want you to give your life to me. I want you to come to this altar and say, 'Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thine be done.'" That's the burden of the Lord. Sometimes we resist the burden of the Lord and we say, I'm not ready, Lord, to give up my will. I've still got some dreams and plans that I want to make happen. And Lord, I don't want to humble myself today. I want to resist the burden of the Lord. And that's sometimes when the burden of the load comes into play. And we get out of the will of God and we try to pursue our own dreams and plans. And then life happens. And that load gets so heavy upon us. And we deal with heartache and tragedy and things happen. And sometimes it's not our fault, it's just life. But that burden of the load is so strong. And until one day we just come to the Lord and say, God, this load is too much for me to carry. I want to get rid of this load and give it to you so I can get back under the burden of the Lord. Amen. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Amen. I want to fall upon that stone today and say, Lord, crush my will. Crush my dreams. Not my will, but thine be done. I don't want that stone to have to fall on me and grind me into a powder. How many of you could say, Lord, I want to put myself on the altar. I want to put myself there, Lord, so that you don't have to fall on me and let that burden crush me. Would there be somebody today, you just come to this altar and say, not my will, God, but thine be done. Not my will, Lord. I'm going through some things. I'm going through some crushing. Come on, could we gather around this altar right now and say, Lord, not my will, Lord. Let your will be done in my life. I submit to your will, God. I submit to your plan. God, I want what you want for my life, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Come on, would you come? God's reaching for some lives today. God's reaching for some hearts today. You've been going through some things. The enemy's tried to destroy you, but God's saying, I want to turn it for good today. I want to turn it for good today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. Lord, here I am, Lord. I repent. God, I repent before you. Every sin, God, I'm sorry for every sin. I'm sorry for everything I've done that was wrong. God, I repent. I submit to your will today, Lord. Lord, I humble myself before you today. I want your will in my life. I want your will in my family, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord.